feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Hey, gang. Dan is miserable today, so I think I'll be doing most of the talking on this episode.
Yeah. For anyone wondering if, I mean, hopefully it's not a problem, but anyone wondering why I might sound terribly different today, it's because I have no internet currently between the two apartments, and we spent all night moving between the two apartments, and then my cat didn't let me sleep after that. So a lot of reasons I sound different today. So he's running off of a hotspot.
Smooth, sultry NPR voice. Well, maybe this will cheer you up. Also, we have a guest, obviously. Dan, please introduce us.
Oh, yes. We have the co-host of the Blanketing Covers podcast that premieres tomorrow on the Wasted Robot Network. We have John Trainer.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, John. Yeah. Good to see you again.
Hey, yeah. Good to see you. Right, John, yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Enough about John. Let me talk about something that's happened.
Yeah, well, we're themed off of that show today, so we'll have plenty of time to explain it. I want to hear the story you teased before we started recording. Okay.
So there is a shoe company. They're not sponsored of the show,
so they remain nameless.
They remain nameless. No, I'll say their name because fuck it, why not? I like the shoes that they send me. They're nice. Called Stray, Stray. They're a skateboarding shoe company. I believe Jamie Thomas, the skateboarder for Zero, has a hand in creating them. I know he's on their team. They're basically Vans, but they're designed to hold up better for skateboarding. I really like their designs, and they had this special where they would run for is like $35 with shipping included, just send you a random mystery pair of shoes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not a gambler, but I'll take that risk. Whatever. I do this before Christmas, long before Christmas, early December. I get a box in the mail from Stray, and it is much bigger than one singular pair of shoes. And I open it up, and it is four pairs of shoes. It is clearly someone else's order.
So eight shoes.
There's eight singular shoes.
Nice counting.
He's so good at math.
This is my morning math. Around.
Morning math. It's how Dan makes sure his brain is sharp.
Yeah, two plus two, two plus two, two plus two. Got
double
it.
Double of four. Eight. Fuck yeah, still got it.
All right. I am present.
So they sent me this wrong order. Bunch of shoes, none of which are my size. So I reached out, and it's a back and forth with customer service. They're very helpful, but it seemed to a point where I think like the customer service representative switched halfway through because they were like, "What was your problem again?"
Yeah.
So that I was like, "Listen, you sent me four pairs of shoes. I just want to make sure that these shoes get to where they need to go for like, because it's clearly like a Christmas order or something." And I don't want people to like miss out on their shoes. And they go, don't worry about it. They finally, the day before Christmas Eve, are like, please consider donating or regifting these. We won't ask you to send the shoes back. And I'm like, that's great. I know a couple people that would love these shoes. I still need my pair of shoes. So that arrived today. They literally said, fuck you, because the shoes say fuck you on them.
That's amazing.
But you did not order those.
I did not
you
order these.
Had to be okay with that, right?
Yes, exactly. It is for those listening at home, they are light pink shoes with embroidered F-U-C-K on the tongue.
Wow, and I thought they were just straight up white. They don't come through as pink in the video. And yeah, that was a move.
Oh, yeah. The pink looks pretty awesome. Pink?
Yeah, I definitely like it better with the pink.
And they do a little secret message in it as well. Do you want to know what the secret message is?
Absolutely.
So this little black thing, it flips up to reveal a middle finger.
Oh my God. Nice. You are so edgy, George. I didn't realize how edgy you were.
So
holy
edgy,
shit. This is 2022, George.
You'll hear just how edgy I am with the amount of ska covers we're about to discuss on this show.
That's right.
That's amazing. Do you oh my gosh, my brain's not working either.
Do quick math.
Four shoes, that's eight shoes, right?
Okay, you're good. All right,
everyone's good. We've resented.
Do you skateboard?
When I was a little kid, boy, did I try.
Well, like, do you still skateboard as like a? As
I haven't in a minute, but yeah. I do find that skateboarding shoes work well for my bad back. Like, I pretty much have to wear New Balances for any sort of athletic sneaker because I have this gnarly lower back problem. Mm. But skateboarding has enough cushion and they don't completely get destroyed in 15 minutes like Converse or Vans do. So every once in a while, I'll buy like a pair of skateboarding sneakers and they work great and they hold up for years.
Nice.
So I'm going to have fuck you sneakers for the next 5 years.
Nice. You just go all out, all like teenager angsty and take some white out to it. Big pens.
Oh, yeah. We're going to draw. We're going to have a little art project. And I have not progressed past. I wish I could find a photo. A skate shop that I used to hang out at in Connecticut. They had like a vintage clothing area of the store. So they had kids that hung out at the store try on clothes, and then they would put them up on the MySpace page to show what they had that week. So there's a video of me, or a picture of me, like not like full head of bowl cut hair and wearing like a blue and black striped Fallen hoodie, like the skateboarding brand Fallen, with like a vintage looks like almost like a Game Show Network host jacket. Basically, I look like Ducky from 16 Candles. That's who I look like. Nice. That was my entire
style icon, John Cryer.
Style icon, John Cryer.
All right, so you want to get into what we're doing today?
I mean, I could always talk about my youth more.
I'm sure it'll come up.
I was
up.
About two when my parents got divorced. No, let's talk about what we're doing today. Let's talk about John's show. Let's talk about how excited we're playlist episode in the morning. We're all tired. This isn't even coffee. This is water because I'm so dehydrated from the night before. My thumb hurts. Let's get it.
Oh, man. We are. You know, this is not going to be an easy playlist episode because we have to still make the connections, but also make sure they're covers. We are not in the right headspaces for this, but we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. I feel like we're going to achieve some things here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a big enough dork that I could pull this off.
Yeah, so
I believe in you.
The quick rundown of the rules, because we haven't done a By the Rules playlist episode in a minute. Every new song
haywire for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, every new song has to be somehow tied to the old song. If it's a story that connects it for you, if it's a band member, if it's a single word from the title of the song or from the album of the song or from the artist of the song, any connection goes. The only things that don't work, I guess, do we have to change it a little bit? Nah, it still works. The only thing that doesn't work, it can't be a cover of the same song. That was an existing rule. So we can't just go from cover to cover. And it can't be the same artist, which still flies here. So it can be people covering the same artist, but it can't be the same artist.
All right.
Sound good. Everyone aware of the rules.
So real quick, I want to just tell people what blanketing covers is, and then we can launch in. John, you'll have the first pick. I'll tell you what the first song is going to be, so you have some time to think about it.
Okay.
The first song is going to be Angel of the Morning, because that was George's episode.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I could never stop. I could always talk more about Angel of the Morning.
And I'm gonna make it the Juice Newton one, because that in itself is a cover and also a hit. So it starts us off on a good footing, I think. But so we're gonna start with Angel of the Morning. The reason we're starting with Angel of the Morning is because on Blanketing Covers, John and I host a show where we just force our guests to do deep dives of a band or a song, and we cover the covers as best we can. We get as in-depth with the cover versions of songs as we possibly can. And George came on very generously and did the Angel of the Morning episode.
I want to say that I love this show. I'm very happy with this show. I complain about this show once a week.
Yeah, I just finished editing that one, and I forgot that we had a fourth guest who had to bail at the last minute. So there's somebody out there who had to do the same research as you, which consists of like 50 plus versions of Angel of the Morning.
so many versions,
but did not get to talk about it or like just offer their opinion about it at all.
Good. That person is worse off, and I'm happier about it.
But your life is richer for having done that, right? Oh,
there are so many Angel of the Morning cover songs.
I know, and
honestly, some of my favorite ones, we'll get into the episodes, are the ones that do not sound like Angel of the Morning. Like, those are my ideal versions of that song when they say, no, I don't need to do this.
Yeah, I'll just real quick shout out the Wind cover, because I know it's not on Spotify, because the Wind version would also offer the transition to the Tommy James cover that they do, but it's not available. But everyone should check out that Wind make-believe album that John and I have become such big fans of, because it just keeps coming up on our show.
It's so good. It's such a treasure.
Well, let's continue with this treasure talk on this treasure hunt of great covers. What is a song that reminds you of Angel of the fucking Morning?
Yeah.
Is there a cover version of Angel by Shaggy? Because that's the one I wanted to put on the playlist the entire time, and it became an honorable mention, I think.
I don't think anybody ever covered like the Shaggy song. I don't think.
The cover of the revamp.
Well, I guess we should.
We have a decision to make here, though. Do we want to include that type of cover?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think not, but I am. So I'm going next.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going start to finish cover songs. We'll each do, you want to do four or five?
Five is good. I like
all
right.
Five. So it'll be a 16 song playlist by the end of it. We're building a 16 song all covers playlist, starting with Angel of the Morning. What comes after it, Jen?
Yeah. So when I think of Angel of the Morning, one of my favorite versions is the Joya Landis reggae cover.
It's the best version.
I love it so much, and we learned some fun things about her. Mm-hmm. Like that she's not from Jamaica.
She was from Kansas. She's
from
Jamaica,
but she's like in Kansas.
I think it was Arkansas or Kansas or something, and like basically did that in two other songs, and then like went back to being a housewife. It's just crazy,
wild. Yeah. And so I wanted to pick a different awesome cover of a song that I think Dan recommended to me, called Gypsy Woman by the Uniques.
Dan, do you remember this?
I know the song. I would have guessed John recommended it to me, but maybe I did.
I think you suggested that I do a deep dive into Gypsy Woman long ago. That and If I Had a Hammer.
Oh, If I Had a Hammer is for sure me.
Yeah. And I found this, this version of Gypsy Woman by the Uniques. And now I'm like kind of obsessed with this Uniques album.
Nice.
I do love a reggae cover. I will never not love any sort of reggae or kind of soul cover of a song. It's always so good.
Yeah, no especially complaints. The really old ones.
Although, I mean, I won't bring up another one, but there's another one that I'm thinking of currently that is like a newer soul cover that is fantastic that might make this playlist.
Mm.
But Dan, why don't you go next?
Okay. I have an easy connection because I know another band that covers Gypsy Woman. But I'm trying to figure out which one I want to go with, because they also have a ton of covers. The band is Jay and the Americans.
Okay, fantastic.
I never heard of them.
Yes, you have.
There's a bunch of songs. I'll send them to you when we're done. They have a couple like in a bunch of famous movies songs. But I think I'm gonna go with Stand By Me.
By Jay and the Americans?
By Jay and the Americans.
Okay.
The Benny King song.
I love Benny King.
So that's one of those songs that like doesn't matter when I hear it, who does it. It's good. I love that song.
What is a big Jay and the American song? Like, what are they known for?
Come a Little Bit Closer.
Yeah, Come a Little Bit Closer is the big one.
Come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man. So big as a truck. And now I owe them a dollar.
Yeah, we just did that.
Oh, okay.
This Magic Moment, which I think is still them, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know that song.
I always assumed that was a cover too, but maybe it is actually them.
Says it was written by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann.
That might be Jay. What? Who knows?
I always thought this magic moment was Roy Orbison.
It could be.
That sounds more right to me.
They're within this realm similar to Juice Newton, where it wasn't like we're writing our own songs. It's we have a songbook and we pick songs from that songbook. And sure, like maybe one of them is made famous, but I don't think they're writing any of them.
It says it was first recorded by Benny King and the Drifters.
Yeah.
That's the famous one.
But Lou Reed did it too. We should do a This Magic Moment episode sometime.
There's a Misfits version of it. It's pretty good.
All right. So yeah, Jay and the Americans. I think we actually sadly lost Jay of Jay and the Americans this
recently,
year.
Recently, right? I do remember.
Like in the last month or two, maybe November. Let me look that up because we might as well pay homage if we have the opportunity.
We must.
I didn't know that. Did Jay and the Americans, did they do Stand By Me originally?
No. Benny King.
Yeah, Benny King.
Oh, Benny King also did that? Okay.
Yeah, that was his song. And then again, it's like one of those songbook things where they just sort of like, okay, yep, this one. They're basically like picking the name out of the phone book, like in The Jerk.
Yeah, Jay Black, soaring lead singer of the Americans, dies at 82 in October.
R.I.P.
So R.I.P. Jay Black of Jay and the Americans. I probably listened to him more than most artists this year because Come a Little Bit Closer is on my Fight Me playlist.
All right, so I got to do Stand By Me by Jay and the Americans. Let me think about this for a minute.
You have other Jay and the Americans options, songs that they covered. You have other Benny King songs for sure. Benny King has a Spanish Harlem, which I'm sure has a ton of covers.
But I kind of want to get away from where we're at right now. We're doing a lot of oldies and I want to do a lot of goodies.
Okay.
I want a nice mix of both. So, all right. I think I'm going to do a cheesy one, but we're going to keep it back to the reggae sound. And it's still an old song, but I do love it. We're going to take the Americans portion of this. We're going to think about really beautiful songs about America and then send them to Jamaica. We're going to do Country Road by Toots and the Maytals.
That's a good one. I wish that was
I never heard that.
Oh, it's the best. Sometimes I put it on and people are like, is this a reggae version of Country Road Take Me Home? And I'm like, no, it's Toots. Like, I have to be really defensive about it.
It's not a reggae cover. It's the reggae cover.
It's the reggae cover. Oh, such a good song. It was, I've talked about it on the show before, but when I was living in Philly and walking to and from work, I would put on one Toots and the Maytals record at night and one Toots and the Maytals record during the day. And it there were some overlap songs. It's basically a very similar record. There's like two or three songs that are on both albums, but they perfectly inform a walk either in day or at night. And this is a morning stroll album. Funky Kingston, fantastic record. I love it to death. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm adding this to my list. This is so nice. I'd never heard this before.
It's a great cover. And it's, I mean, and you know what? It toes the line, I will say, between our rule we made up top, where it's like, oh, they're different lyrics. But, you know, Take Me Home Country Road is such a beautiful, like, American song that talks about the love of, like, the Blue Ridge Mountains and that area of this country. And all Toots is doing is just taking that but making it about his home in Jamaica. So I still think it counts, even though the lyrics are different technically.
I'm okay with it. It's not pulling it and sampling it, which is what I was kind of asking about with the Shaggy one. It's for sure a cover. A slight adaptation is fine.
The Monsters and then add like the Uma Thurman Fallout Boy song where it's just a theme song to the Monsters. That doesn't count. That's not a cover. I do love the Monsters. Shout out to Jake Matera for his Eddie Munster tattoo. Munster tattoo?
Herman
Munster. Eddie Herman. Herman. Is his free Herman Munster tattoo. Ask him about it when you see him at a show. All right. Who else is next? John, I think you're next.
Yeah. Let's see. The first thing I think of is this newer band, Whitney, does a an awesome version of this song. But I think it might be the only cover they do.
So yeah, you can't use it.
So now I'm thinking,
I do have a Secondhand Songs app, which is a frequent resource for our show. And there are 294 listed covers, and that's not counting web covers.
It's a great song. Yes, I believe it. There's a, oh, you know what I want to play? All right. So on this same album, on Funky Kingston, he also does Louie Louie. Toots does Louie Louie.
He does.
Ooh.
And Black Flag does Louie Louie.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Because Louie Louie is really fun.
I didn't realize Black Flag did Louie Louie, and that makes me so happy.
Yeah. You can tell they like really let, like they, it's not like a tongue in cheek. Like I think they like enjoy it.
I mean, the very like most famous version, the Kingsman version, is itself a cover.
Is it?
Yeah.
I have no idea who originally did Louie Louie. All those songs that started in the 50s or whatever, it's like so many bands played them.
Yeah, it was Richard Berry and the Pharaohs, which is a thing I know because on Rank Bank, we ranked the top covers. And I did a lot of research of like, what were the most successful covers of all time? And the Kingsman version is one of the most successful covers of all time.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a song, I forget the guy who sings it, but he does like kind of a spoken word folk song about the history of the Kingsman.
Oh, interesting.
It comes up on my Discovered Weekly every once in a while. And it's a fun listen, but it's not something that you can listen to twice.
Yeah.
You know? Although, shout out, not a cover, but I just want to shout out this song. Has anyone ever heard of Dean Friedman?
Yeah, I listened to it after you shared it.
Yeah, how good is that song?
That was wild.
Jeff May from Get in the Garage podcast reached out and was like, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's called Ariel, like the mermaid. Okay,
I found it. Yeah.
And it's just a fucking rip-off Billy Joel song. I shouldn't say that because it is independent of itself. But it has got that same, like, it's if Billy Joel lived in New Jersey. That's what I'll say. It's just a
wait. If Billy doesn't, he's from Long Island.
Yes, that's the difference.
Okay, so maybe it's because I'm from Chicago, but to me, I'm like, oh yeah, what if he was from the suburbs of Chicago?
Yeah. It's, what if he was different. The same?
It's so different. As someone that was born on Long Island and now lives in the area that he is from in New Jersey, it is different.
All right, explain it to me. Help me understand.
Bagels mostly.
Yeah. It's a little softer.
It's a little softer.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Seals and Crofts to Billy Joel's Hall & Oates, hard-edged Hall & Oates.
Yes. That's pretty well how it is. But it's a great, just listen to that whole album. It's fantastic. Dan, you have Louie Louie by Black Flag, which I love that is on this playlist. We went from like very easy listening, sort of like, okay, like grandma can listen to this playlist and she'd be okay with it, to then fucking Black Flag.
And you know, I'm bringing it right back to grandma.
Come on.
I have an opportunity here that I feel like I have to take because it ties back to Blanket and Covers. But Otis Redding also does a cover of Louie Louie that is fine. It's totally just fine. But he also does a cover of a song that we do on our show, the Sam Cooke song, You Send Me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I might have been the one who came down hard on the side of this song while other people might not have, but I love Otis Redding's voice, and hearing it do such a familiar song for me was really cool. I hadn't heard it before we did the show.
All right, You Send Me, Otis Redding. Pain in My Heart is the name of the album. You know, all these like Otis Redding's, Jay and the Americans, they have such good record album covers.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the song, just like the style,
the art. Yeah,
that era of music is so good.
Yeah, it has like that style, like, that like you see people do it now just kind of like ironically, and you're like, nah, people did this for real and it was cool.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but like they had like they didn't have the benefit of like anything on the computer, right? And so they were like hand doing like the typography and like pasting things together, right? To like put that album cover, that album art together.
Like I never even think about that, that like somebody more often than not had to draw a font that like they weren't just typing and like placing it there.
It's wild. There's a band that did this African band that it's always hard for me to say, but they put out their first album. This American record label put their album out, and they tried to make it look like older DIY African kind of album art. And they showed like the process of doing it, of like taking the picture of the band and then, you know, taking an X-Acto knife and cutting out the silhouette of the band, and then like, you know, putting the different colored pieces of paper behind them, cutting out the typography, putting it all together, pasting it, and then like basically photocopying it in like a fancy, you know, color photocopier, and then getting a like flat image that way. I'm just like,
that's
gosh, I
wild.
Really makes me appreciate Photoshop.
All right. I'm thinking so hard right now.
I know it's hard for you.
Connection. It really is difficult. I'm going to go with a cover. I really like this cover. I also like the concept behind this album. It's stylized similarly, in not in that cool bluesy style of record cover, but it's a cover by Billy Bragg. But what he did was he and a friend named, I believe his name is Joe Henry, traveled across the United States on a train. And then when they would stop in certain train stations, they would do field recordings just in the atrium of whatever place that they were in. So it's called Shine a Light. It's field recordings from the Great American Railroad. And he does a beautiful cover of Midnight Special.
And
I feel like that's a really good comparison to like the Otis Redding soul song, mixed with a British man pretending to be American singing folk songs.
Yeah.
But
no one in this century has been more American than Billy Bragg.
But it's such a beautiful, and it's just him and his buddy playing acoustic guitars in these beautiful acoustic rooms that are just train stations. Essentially, you can hear people in the background of them performing. There's never applause afterwards, it doesn't feel like. It's just, okay, we did the song back on the train, and they traveled across the country doing it. I think it's a cool concept, and it's got that American folk heart to it.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I know they did they did Waiting for a Train, which is a song I love. But that's the only one I know from that. I never listened to the whole thing.
The whole thing is fantastic. And Midnight Special, like, it goes back. It's not the Creedence version of it. It's like the original blues version of that song.
Yeah, this is like, this is one of those songs that nobody knows where it came from.
Yeah, I think it was it one looks of those. Like,
Is it?
Yeah,
it's like a southern, like a real southern blues song that was like, slaves sang.
Yeah, I think it's part of the system during, I want to say, the Great Depression, where guys would drive around with recording equipment in the back of the trunk of their car, and they would travel around the South, and they'd see a guy playing guitar on his porch and walk up to him and be like, "We're trying to preserve this. Can I record you playing this song?" And those became the field recordings that are in the Library of Congress for a lot of blues and like American and Americana songs.
That's awesome.
Because during the Great Depression, they needed to make jobs. So they would just send these guys out to gather stories. It's actually a really beautiful thing. Like, if you ever get a chance, buy the big box set of like American folk music. That's all where that came from. It's like a Library of Congress edition of those songs. A lot of people during the folk revival, that was a big commodity that people wanted all the time, was this big box set of songs, because that informed, I mean, I hate to say it, but like all these white boys from 10 years ago doing like the Mumford and Sons and the Lumineers, like they all
the Hohei genre. Yeah,
the Hohei genre just took from that catalog of songs and was like, how can we skim milk this?
Yeah. Yeah, we've waited a long time to make this white.
And they did, and they made a whole lot of money for it.
Yeah, I think that's a history of a lot of these yeah. like blues mm-hmm. blues songs. Very unfortunately true. Yeah, it says true. On Wikipedia that it's like a like an old prisoner song mm-hmm. and then yeah like 1905 I think it said it was the first time it was recorded. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's got to be
this is great.
And then like the fact that Billy Bragg touched into that to get those that original heart to it back by just doing it while riding the train. Now keep in mind, he's not like in the back of freight trains or anything. Yeah.
He's Billy like, Bragg.
Billy Bragg. He's on the Amtrak. He's got his own private car.
In Union Station.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I think the front cover is like in Grand Central.
Yeah. It's cool. And actually, like I just finished listening to it. It's like, I think what's nice about it, about not having the audience, is that it like captures more of those like old style, you know, like back. Yeah. Sitting on your porch sort of recording. You know? Yeah,
it's live, but not like concert
it's
live.
It's not perfect right. harmonies and melody. It is soul. It is blues. You hear it in the voice of how they reach to match each other on certain harmonies. And that's beautiful. Like you hear a song now that is so compressed and produced that, you know, a computer just kind of fixed a line of vocal and it doesn't have that lilt to it at all.
Yeah. One day I'll record an album and you'll know that it was all done by computers.
They already have music created by AI bots, so it's here. The end is nigh. Anyway,
yeah,
not to be too depressing, but John,
well wait, you? Let me hang on a sec, let me turn that around, because when I was a kid, right, when I was in like high school, I was like a big analog snob, and this was like I graduated in 2003, so it was the worst time for digital, right? Digital everything, digital movie effects, digital music, like everything just sounded yeah, like
it is the only obvious. Era of
I believe like, 2003 is when they made the Scorpion King CGI perfect. For that movie. And yeah. I think that's a great example of where we were at technology in 2003.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
You're both aware that I watched 440 something movies or whatever this year.
Not just aware, but proud, Dan.
Yeah. Thank you. Somebody has to be, because it's not me. But
your mother's worried.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only era that I came across that, like, more often than not, I didn't like the movie because of that uncanny valley problem. Mm-hmm. That, like, before that, it's still, like, of its era plot-wise, but you can watch it. It stays in kind of a consistency with the rest of time. But, like, that era just stands out as so weird and clunky to me.
Yeah. Even the I was just watching, I mean, I don't really have the rails, but I was just watching the new Matrix in like 30-minute chunks.
Loved it.
I watched that last night.
I'm really enjoying it. I still have like 30 minutes left to go.
It's
I
good.
Think
it's good.
I seem to be the only person who loves it, but also I love it because of all the reasons everyone hates it. Didn't it?
Yeah, I love the big too when talking to people.
Yeah, I love the big swing of it. Like I acknowledge its faults, but I love the big attempt at what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, anyway, I'll hold my judgment until I finish the last yeah. 30 minutes, but there's a lot of clips of the old movie in it. And it made me like, I watched the old movie very recently, probably this year. And I was like, oh gosh, like I love, like it was so, it looked so awesome when it came out. And like, it stuck in my mind as just being amazing. And now I watch it, and I'm like, when his mouth like blurs, and like, oh, yeah. that's really rough. Like that looks really yeah. bad. And it kind of like takes you out of the movie now, you know?
It or even like reinvented a genre. Okay.
Even the motion yeah. blur, and you're like, oh God, I don't know if this, I don't think I like this yeah. anymore.
I saw so much criticism for it that was like, they did bullet time, but all digital. And it was like, yeah, because they don't have like it wasn't- to not do that. Like they don't have to rely on shooting on film in 360 degrees and like doing mm-hmm. super frame rate slowed. Yeah. In. They can just do it. Like that's right, the whole yeah. point. That's the point they're making is like, we changed this and like,
right.
Y'all ruined it.
Right. Yeah. And so like when I was in high school and I first started playing instruments, you know, and like guitar pedal, it was like digital guitar pedals were like trash, you know, like digital effects were bad. And it was like right when Line 6 was starting to come out. And, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, never, I would never. And then I went to college for electrical engineering and learned how to actually, you know, like translate something from analog to digital. And I was like, oh, this is actually very simple. Like, yeah, I could never tell the difference. Yeah. Like, I know it, like, yeah. Scientifically know why I can't tell the difference and why it's just as good. And it's just a snobbery thing. Yeah. And so now I'm just like, and especially now it's even better. And it's like down to the, you know, yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, like 300 bits per second or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Okay. Nope. That was totally just a construct. I now fully accept my new digital world.
It's funny because the company that I work for now, who will remain nameless, we can't do an IKEA thing like we did in the past.
Yes.
But I deal in guitar pedals and stuff. And part of it, people call all the time. They're like, oh, do you have the hand-wired pedal version of this? And it's $300 more.
Yeah.
And I won't say like, sir, you don't need it. We have the other one available. We don't have the hand wired. We have the digital version. And they're like, oh, no. And they don't buy it. And they're the same. They're the same.
Yeah. One just breaks easier.
Yeah.
Well, and like there is like an objective, like, okay, it's all objective, right? Like it sounds mm-hmm. warmer. Like, okay, I'd like for you to describe a little bit better what warmer means, but okay, I'll give you that.
it's an emotional feeling. It's not an actual
sure,
sound.
Whatever. Yeah. And there's real benefits, you know, like I know I had a friend that only recorded on tape in his like, you know, in his basement. And it's very expensive to get tape, but there was like a good reason for it, right? Like when it was more so that like when, if you hit the audio limit, you know, the volume limit on tape, it like sounds a little distorted and it doesn't like break. Right. So it's like more forgiving. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I get that. Like you don't have to try as hard to, you know, make it perfect, or you don't have to like construct the you know, digital modeled analog limiting, right?
Yeah, you don't have to recreate it. It just happens.
Great. That's fine. That's like a pretty legitimate reason. But like if somebody put in the effort to make it sound exactly the same in digital, like come on, you couldn't tell.
No, you absolutely couldn't tell. You listen to that like Foo Fighters record that they recorded on tape a couple years ago. I'm not the person. I've spent my life in music for most of it. I'd say half of my life has been involved in understanding music and playing music and learning gear and shit. I couldn't tell you if that sounds different than the album beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, I have I have very good headphones, but like I have like a lack of depth perception in my hearing that like those subtle changes mean nothing to me.
Well, and honestly, like you're getting all your music through Spotify. Like I'm getting all my music.
It's already
so no matter how you recorded it, it's already being compressed into bits and then recompiled. So like all your effort is for nothing.
Yeah, use Apple Music because they use the lossless feature, but they don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean it's still
a feature that was given to me, so I'm gonna use that feature, and I guess it sounds different.
I mean, apparently Tidal has the best audio quality of all of them, like across the board.
We're still not gonna Tidal. They pay their artists more, and they have the best audio possible. And I'm still not gonna buy. I'm sorry.
But see, my whole thing with that is like, for that to be a benefit, I then have to buy a whole bunch of equipment that can like pull out those subtle differences.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff I have doesn't. My headphones do, but I don't wear these most of the time. These are in-house. Like these don't leave the house. So like,
well, yeah, like that. And you also need like the highest quality to come through. So like you better have primo internet wired all the time, or it's going to be downscaled. Yeah. Like it's never going to be that perfect, like super high rate audio when you're streaming it, you know?
Yeah. And
so if you want that sound, just go buy a record.
Actually, you know what? We're about halfway through here. We have seven songs on the list, so we have the back eight to go. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit, and John, we'll launch you back into your next pick.
If Elvis and Buddy Holly are the Cain and Abel of rock and roll, Bruce Springsteen and Zachariah, Iggy Pop is Methuselah. Of course, Neil Young is the wise prophet Ezekiel. What does that make Get in the Garage?
Well, I think that makes Get in the Garage the one-stop shop for all know-how, history, countdowns, disagreements, agreements, and pretty much everything that you want to hear about music.
Get in the Garage.
Get in the Garage.
A music program from the Wasted Robot Network.
I was just learning to love.
Hey everyone, Danny here with Plugs. Hope you're enjoying this All Covers playlist episode. You can find more of John and his love of covers on the brand new podcast, Blanketing Covers. The preview episode is out right now. The first episode will be out tomorrow, January 4th. You can get it everywhere you get your podcasts. George and I are at Feel Feelings Pod on all the platforms. You can check out all things Wasted Robot at Wasted Robot on all the platforms. Continue to get out there supporting the Meg Getz album, One Last Rad Thing. It's a great album. You can get it everywhere you get music or comedy or however you take that stuff in anymore. That's it. Back to the show.
I wasted a birthday wish. Because I said, oh, I want a bagel for breakfast for my birthday. And then we started talking about Lord of the Rings again, because she refuses to watch Lord of the Rings. And they're one of my favorite series of films. And then I was talking.
I keep asking Meg if she wants to watch it, knowing she'll say no and hoping she'll say no. But one day she's going to call my bluff and we're going to have to watch it. I don't want to watch it either.
I want to watch it. I love those movies. I told her I'd break it up episodically so it's easier on her. So it'll be like hour breaks, but it's still going to be like a full season of TV if we do it that way. But I was talking shit to my friend. I was like, she won't even let me watch Lord of the Rings. She won't watch Lord of the Rings with me. And the Ropak was like, why don't you ask that for your birthday? I was like, can't already ask for a bagel.
Today your birthday?
No, it was in October.
Oh, this is just asking for a bagel is a regular thing.
But it's someone's birthday soon.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, it's your birthday tomorrow?
Yeah, today's my mom's birthday.
I didn't know that. Oh, I did know that from last year.
Yeah, we've been friends just long enough.
I'm not good at birthdays. I'm not good at remembering birthdays.
Oh, man, that's the only reason why I have Facebook. If I didn't have Facebook, no one's birthday.
I mean, I'm at a point where if I don't have your number in my phone, I'm not saying happy birthday to you no matter what. Like,
oh yeah, they used to have a joke about it on stage. I would talk about how like I get very anxious when wishing people a happy birthday on Facebook because I don't believe that it is actually their birthday and that they've changed their birthday inside Facebook, so then people know it's not really their birthday. And
some people do that. That happened to me once. Somebody, I was like, hey, happy birthday. And they're like, no, it's not really my birthday. It's just what Facebook says.
See?
Like, monster.
Yeah, I
always wait for
an hour
to say happy birthday. And then I'll follow along. I'll text them.
Let somebody else.
Text me on your birthday. And then I'll be like, happy birthday. You text me and say, it's my birthday. I'll say,
happy birthday. It's my birthday. How come you didn't say anything? Well, happy birthday.
I don't trust the internet.
Yeah, I took my birthday off of it. And people still know it's my birthday, so they'll write happy birthday, and then enough people do it that it just happens anyway. It's very annoying. Anyway, we're back.
Welcome back to the show. Happy birthday, Daniel.
That's right. Tomorrow will be my 35th birthday.
Listen, I say this with a lot of people that get past it. You beat Jesus.
I did that last year.
I know, but like still that's every year after now. That, you've outlived Jesus.
That's true.
And I like the new millennial Gen Z thing where everyone is saying you're not allowed to kill yourself because you need to outlive Mitch McConnell. It wouldn't be fair for you to die without witnessing the death of Mitch McConnell.
That's great.
And one day we'll get there. But John, how much do you hate Mitch McConnell? No, what cover song do you want to discuss now?
Yeah,
the last one we did was Midnight Special.
So we definitely need a reset.
So a lot. One, a lot. And two, you picked, I have it already picked out. So you picked Billy Bragg and his friend Joe Henry riding the rails and doing Midnight Special. So I went along the same lines. And one of my favorite songs from this year was this Chicago singer-songwriter Bill McKay as a guitarist, did an album with, I assume, his friend. I actually don't know this guy, Nathan Ballads. I'm just going to assume they're as close as Billy Bragg is with Joe Henry. And they do this really beautiful version of an old, like a traditional old song called I See God. It's really lovely and gospel. It's like a, it's like gospel blues, I guess, or like gospel, like Americana.
Okay. I like the album. But
I love it
a lot.
This whole album, I think, is really cool. And it's all just like sort of old style Americana. I don't know if any of it's original songs. But this song in particular stood out to me. And I just think it's so beautiful.
I like it. All right.
I don't know this one. Cool. So I'm going to have to play the game of this, of picking some words and running with it.
Hey, Dan, you're not going to have trouble finding a song with the name God in it.
Oh, that's exactly the path I'm taking. I mean, the choice
he's
now.
Very popular. His son didn't quite make it as far as you, but he's very popular.
Yeah, he had to bury his kid and then unbury his kid.
Oh, such a crazy thing.
Which one do I want to pick here? Exactly. I'll say up front while I'm thinking it out, I'm definitely going with a God Only Knows cover, but I know a couple, and I'm also looking at secondhand songs, and there's a handful on here that I'm like, maybe I'll do that one instead of the one I know and like. But let's see. I'm going to do the Hello Goodbye version of God Only Knows.
Yeah, and they even did the album cover for it too.
Yeah, they do a fun version. I like what Hello Goodbye has turned into in their continued career. They've turned into something I actually like.
They were like an emo band when I was in college, right?
Yeah, they were a synthy emo band.
Yeah, they were that like early wave of like indie pop.
Okay.
This is great. This is a great option.
I think I remember them when they came out. I don't think I've checked them out in a really long time.
Yeah, Meg and I actually saw them.
Yeah, like Spotify associates them with cute is what we aim for and the Academy is. That's how I think of them.
Yeah, they don't fit there anymore. Up. They have very, very, very much worked their way out of that.
Okay, I have one. Ah, man, this is my third one, right?
There's one I'm trying to make. That was my third one, so yeah, this will be your third one.
Yeah, there's one I'm trying to make a connection to, but I really hope that we can get to it at some point. There's like two or three. Because I have a playlist called Some Pretty Good Covers, and it's just like an old vintage ad for bedding, for the picture. But do you guys call your blankets covers, or is that a regional thing?
Well, that's the basis of the name of our podcast, Blanketing Covers.
There you go, Blanketing Covers. I don't know. I just call covers like, oh, let me get under the covers.
I've always called them. You don't covers. Call it a blanket?
I don't call it a blanket. I call it, let me get some covers.
But like, if I was like, hey, do you have an extra blanket? You would know what I meant, right?
Yes, of course. It's just, okay. It's a vernacular thing.
But so if somebody was like, somebody would ask for like, do you have extra covers?
I'd know exactly what they need. Huh. I don't know.
I would give them a interchangeably. Yeah. Yeah.
So have you heard this version of Corona? anyway, so with God Only Knows, love the Beach Boys. However, I've also grew up loving Hello Goodbye. And in a similar vein of music, I also really love, and I like talk about them on the show all the time. I have several like show posters, because when I see them, I always buy the poster. I'm not a big, like, I was a t-shirt guy, and then I became more of a screen printed poster guy, and that's like the art in our home. So it's, I mean, not like
the art in our home is just comedy posters, so
but that's
did
great.
You get to
that.
The point though, did you get to the point where you had a bunch that you intended to frame? Now you just have a pile of show posters that are not hung up.
There's a couple pieces of cardboard underneath between like my box spring and my mattress that have all these different show posters in them. What I'm gonna do, one of my favorite bands of all time,
I'm playing a game in my head of which song you're about to pick, and can
you
I
know who what the artist is?
Motion City.
Yes, it's Motion City soundtrack.
Are you going to do the Left and Leaving cover?
No, I do love that because I love the Weaker Thans, but I think this is an even better version of the song that they covered.
Okay.
I'm going to do Wait So Long, originally by Trampled by Turtles.
Oh.
They do an incredible, like, they, I always had an issue with Trampled by Turtles. I love what they do and how they sound, but it also just sounds like they're trying to beat the person next to them. So it just gets yeah. too fast.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah. That,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever been able to like qualify my kind of distaste for them, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's their speed for the sake of speed sometimes. And Motion City Soundtrack took this song, Wait So Long, and made it like how it's supposed to sound. In my opinion, it is nice. Such a good cover.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard this.
Power.
This is really nice.
Yeah, it's got everything you want. It's got really warm guitar tone because you know we know what that means now because of earlier in the podcast. like just good amount of tone and distortion on the guitar, but still makes it heart wrenching. It's honestly very similar production to a Weaker Thans album.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
So much. Yeah,
I can't wait till I'm back in service and can hear it.
Motion City Soundtrack was like, I don't know if they were transformative for me, but that was like a big deal when I was in college. And they played a show at, they came to my college, I think. Yeah, they came to my college to play a show and it just like blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just, and it's funny too, because I guess one of their keyboardist, lives in like a town just north of me, so I'm like okay. waiting to run into him at the grocery store and be like, "Hi,
I saw you do a handstand once. It was cool."
Would you recognize him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would too.
So funny.
I
know them. Yeah, they're a band where like I know what each member looks like. I used to know their names, but that kind of whizzled out of my head. Nah,
I only know two of their names now because like one is the main guy and the other one does so many things I like.
Yeah. But just so good. Love them. Anyway, John.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, so like I was a big emo fan and am currently somewhere in between like a big emo fan and a big like emo apologist.
It is wild how much we've talked about music and we've almost never talked about emo despite having the same phase with the same bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in New Hampshire and without any access to basically anything interesting. And when I went to college in Illinois, I learned about like a little bit about punk music in by way of like emo, mm-hmm. When you know Taking Back Sunday and Brand New were first coming out in like 2003. And so there's a lot of you know what my first thought is to play the Used and My Chemical Romance's version of
Under Pressure cover.
No, the Christmas song. What Christmas song do they do? They do what is that? All I Want for Christmas. Oh, it's Just My Chemical Romance. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh,
is
that- yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really good. They actually do a great job with that.
Is it too, like, I don't know. This is after Christmas, so I don't know if we can really pull off a Christmas song here.
It's up to you.
Well, I mean, I was tempted to do God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, just because that song's been in my head lately. It just has that kind of
religion version.
That like kind of hooks its way in. So like God just like immediately clued it back up. But I got like, get past it.
Yep.
I wouldn't be opposed to that song though.
No, I feel like it's too late. Like we got to wait till next year to get into that.
Yes, please come back next year for a Christmas covers episode. I mean, technically all Christmas songs are covers. I'm gonna go on a limb here and say 95% of Christmas songs are covers.
Yeah.
I think that's legitimate.
I did just learn that Silent Night is the most covered Christmas song.
Really?
That's based like on Spotify numbers.
Yesterday is the like most covered Beatles song, and I've never heard anyone cover Yesterday.
There aren't any famous versions of Yesterday, I don't think, but it is like it was like the Guinness Book answer for what was the most covered song of all time.
I think they used to play it a lot. They used to play it. There's a lot of like 70s albums that have like random Beatles covers.
Oh, like, yeah. I think there actually is like a Bill Withers version and stuff. Now that you mentioned that, he did like Hey Jude and stuff. So like, there's probably even an Otis Redding version that.
Yeah, I forget what record I just picked up, but they had like a Lennon McCartney credit on the back of it. But I'm recently sorting through all my vinyl, and just kind of cataloging my records through Discogs just to have like a comprehensive
list. I love that.
Oh yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll pick up a record and be like, "Oh, there's a Beatles song on this. I had no idea."
Yeah.
But I do not remember which one it was.
Yeah, I did that last time I moved, and was delighted to find that my mom had snuck all of her records into my collection.
There you go.
Like she had taken the time to like alphabetize most of them, so like I hadn't even caught on because I could barely took up more space. But there's like Alan Parsons Project stuff where I'm like, oh shit, I love this. Why is it here?
Well, it's so nice.
I didn't know I had this.
Yeah. So John, how we follow in Motion City?
Okay. So all right. So I am going for like emo cover. That's the link.
Okay.
And I am choosing Megan by Bayside.
Great.
Which is a cover of a Smoking Popes song.
Yeah. That's like, that's the reason why people know Smoking Popes.
Is that right?
I disagree.
Yeah. I grew up in a generation where like we got Megan. We did not get Smoking Popes. Like we got Bayside.
Oh, is that one Smoking Popes record? Right? Smoking Popes are one of my favorite bands.
This the is from, album? Yeah, the acoustic one.
Yeah,
this was okay. The first Bayside album that I heard.
You know, I hear that a lot. A lot of people found the acoustic albums first. My first was Sirens and Condolences because my sister had that. And just the lyric of from the song Guardrail, where it's like, I hope you crash your car into a guardrail and break your neck like you broke my heart. And just be like,
classic.
Just a bit much, buddy.
You're leaning in a little too time. Hard.
We get it. You're sad.
the violent misogyny of 2000s emo is the one thing that I don't.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I will not apologize.
That's what you
for.
Have to apologize. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, sorry, that's the one thing I won't stand up for.
Exactly.
I'm not an apologist for that.
Yeah. Fair, very fair.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan, great tune. Also, I always mention this, but Bayside is one of those bands. They're great. I won't say they're bad, but I have never seen them. Like, I've never wanted to see them, but I have seen them more than any other band.
That's how I feel about Manchester Orchestra. They used to open up for every band that I saw before I'd heard of them.
That was Bayside a plain white tees for me for a while.
Yeah, it's
there
just
you
like you just keep on seeing them and they just have it. Like, I love Say Anything, and they've toured with Say Anything so many fucking times.
Yeah. Yeah. Bayside, though, I don't think I've ever really liked any of their recorded albums, but every time I see them live, I'm like, maybe this will be the time I get into them because they rule. They are so good live.
They're so good. They're so fucking good. They're like really, and I like, I got, I'm fortunate enough to be able to see them on Long Island where they're from. So it's great to see like a hometown Bayside show.
Oh, but sure.
I went to go see the opener. I went to go see Man Overboard. I did not go to see Bayside.
Oh, damn, Man Overboard. Holy shit.
Wait, so were you in Long Island at the same time when all these emo bands are coming up there?
I was very young and then went back with like the MySpace era and found out like, oh my God, Taking Back Sunday and Bayside or like, and Brand New or all in the same town essentially. But I grew up in Connecticut.
Okay.
The biggest things we had Hot Rod Circuit, which was really formative. And me and Dan always talk about Hot Rod Circuit and how much we love them. But then like the other bands from Connecticut are like Hatebreed. So
sick.
A lot of like, I wasn't even like a hardcore kid, but you just knew that like, oh, okay, Hatebreed's coming through. We might as well hang out with our hardcore friends and go see Hatebreed. Like it was big for Connecticut when like Spencer's Gifts sold Hatebreed hats in their store, and you're like, wow, Connecticut's
we
on the
made
map
it.
Now. We did. Everyone knows the hat too. It's a hat with flames on the brim, and then it says Hatebreed in Flames as well on top of it. And it was a popular hat with dudes wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah, hardcore is one that I'm always on the edge of. Like, I have a hard time appreciating hardcore.
There's a barrier there for me too. A breakthrough band that comes through that, like, I'll listen to a ton of hardcore. Like, there's a new band. They've gotten very popular through, like, the internet and TikTok and stuff, but they're called Knocked Loose, and they're fantastic. They're really accessible hardcore. But then as soon as you listen to, like, a Nails record, which is, it's too much. Yeah. It's too great.
Or Bane.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just a little much. However,
I have a tough time with Bane.
Formidable memory of I was playing a show at this place called the LNG Club in New London. It's no longer there. I think it's a vape shop now, but it was a fantastic music venue. RIP the LNG Club. And we played a show where we were playing on Friday and we were weirdly playing on Sunday. But on Saturday, Madball was playing. So we saw we did our show on Friday, and Madball is this New York hardcore. I think they have ties to FSU, but I'm probably going to get people yelling at me for that. Because that was more of a Boston thing. That was another thing you had to worry about in the hardcore scene in New England, is FSU is going to show up and kick your ass because your buddy was smoking cigarettes outside the venue. But we came back on Sunday. The entire club was destroyed. Like, pieces of stairwell were missing because they were used as blunt instruments. And I was like, why do people like this?
That's amazing. Holy shit.
Anyway, where are we, Dan?
It's up to me.
Hardcore cover now.
Well, as soon as you said Megan, I was locked in on what my choice was going to be, because both of you were like, Smoking Popes, whatever.
I'm not saying Smoking Popes, whatever. I'm saying Smoking Popes, whatever.
It is not Smoking something Popes, that I got ooh. Access to.
I got a quick Smoking Popes. It's not even a story. It's just an encounter. I had a Smoking Popes encounter in my old neighborhood
on the streets of Chicago. Yeah.
No, not on the streets of Chicago. I did not know they were even from Chicago. I was just Smoking Popes, just like an ubiquitous band that's just always been around. I just known they've been like a thing for a long time. I was getting my coffee in my neighborhood, and there was like a new guy at the bar. And we were chatting, and he was like, oh yeah, and I'm in this band in Chicago, whatever. I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, and his friend was like, no, not just some band. He's in the Smoking Popes. He's one of the guys in Smoking Popes. And I was like, what? That's so awesome. He's like, you know the Smoking Popes? Oh, you know the Smoking Popes? I was like, yeah, of course I know the Smoking Popes. I was like, wait, do people not know the Smoking Popes?
I love that story because, like, they're huge. Of course you know the Smoking Popes.
Yeah,
wait,
to me,
you
they're
know
huge.
The Smoking Popes?
Yeah. Like, oh, you've heard of us. Oh, thank you.
It's so nice to meet you. No, buddy, we know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that band so much. And John, I want you to make note of the Megan cover, because it features Josh Caterer, who is a member of the Smoking Popes.
Yeah, you met him in a bar. We just talked about
that. That's
this.
Right.
But because one day for our show, we're going to do probably not ranked in any sort of like episode, but a show of covers that feature the original artist.
Oh, fun. So like Lisa Loeb singing that Newfound Glory version.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay.
That's the first one that comes to mind, but like it shouldn't be, because I've definitely
it's
researched
not every
it
David
now
Bowie
and
song.
Keep finding. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not in the background of all the young dudes being like, David Bowie, we hear you.
Yeah, it's
or Tommy
David
James
Bowie
or Dolly
Shrek
Parton.
Too. But I'm not going to go with any of those, because I didn't realize that Josh Caterer was even on that song to venture down that path, because there's a lot of great covers that fit that description. But Smoking Popes, I want to keep the Smoking Popes. I want to hear some actual Smoking Popes on this playlist, because they rule. I love the Smoking Popes. They have a song called Starstruck One that may have defined my whole mindset and my whole approach to life, that ends with the lyric, "My heart tapped me on the shoulder and whispered in my ear, don't be a pussy all your life." One of the funniest things I've ever heard in any song ever. But I'm not going to pick that song.
You talked about this on the first episode.
I think it probably is on that playlist. Yeah.
You got emotional on that first episode about that lyric.
Oh, I love it. It's one of those things, like, it's such a motivator, because it's hilarious, but it's also like, yeah, knock it off. Get out of your own way.
Yeah.
That's so it's also sung like a romantic song. Like, you don't expect the next lyric to be "Don't be a pussy all your life."
Yeah. It's like the Hot Rod Circuit lyric where it's like, "Let's go make out."
Yeah.
Is this why is this there?
Yeah.
But what were you gonna say?
But yes, on that same album, on Destination Failure, they have a pretty amazing cover, because the first couple of times I heard it, it didn't even register why I knew it. But they do a cover of Pure Imagination.
Oh.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an album track on Destination Failure. It's a great cover.
That's good. All right. I do love the fact that, like, stereotypically, of course, there's a fucking Bayside song and then a Smoking Pope song. And not only is it Bayside, like, it's Bayside covering Smoking Popes. And then the next song, Smoking Popes.
See, now we're into the world of, like, movie covers are an option. There's a lot that just opened up with Pure Imagination. So where are you headed?
I just, because this is my last or second to last.
You have one more after this.
Okay. I don't know if we'll get to it, but I just really want to add this song. I know it doesn't abide by the rules, but my name is on the show title, so fuck you, I do what I want.
Most of your names is on the show title. Now no one's following the rules.
So what I'm going to do, Smoking Popes, Chicago band.
Yes, like they are. Guest,
John, who lives in Chicago and loves it. I want to do a Philly band that recently covered an amazing song. This may have been on a playlist already, but I think it's fantastic. There is a YouTuber who I love a lot, who also is from Philadelphia, that breaks down songs as to why they are terrible musically. So nice. Like, he'll do a 45 minute episode about why Beverly Hills by Weezer is terrible.
Sounds like he's fun at parties.
He's fun. He's a very funny person. But like, the most recent one he did a Super Bowl style breakdown of which, it was called the Kravitz Bowl, and it was which song was worse, Fly or American Woman by Lenny Kravitz.
And I have a definite answer.
I loved both of those songs when they came out in like 1997.
But like, he breaks it down in a way of like both musically and just why they stink. It's really, really, his name's Pat Finnerty. Look him up on YouTube. But he did an episode about why the song "Hey Soul Sister" sucks. And to prove his point, he got his friends, Dr. Dog, a Philadelphia-based band, to cover a song that is arguably better, to prove that like "Hey Soul Sister" is terrible with this certain pattern of song, but here's a song that is great and we're gonna get my friend's band to cover it, so even a cover can be better than this fucking awful song, "Hey Soul Sister." So I am adding to the playlist Dr. Dog's cover of "Here Comes the Hot Stepper."
Wow, really?
What is the original of that song?
Who sings it?
I don't know who does that song originally, actually.
Oh, okay. I did not know that's what this song was called.
Yeah, it's...
It is.
Wait, how is this related to "Hey Soul Sister"?
So basically, it's the formula of the chords are the same.
Okay.
So it's proving that you can write a good song
with the same formula? Chords.
Yeah, without it being terrible.
Okay. You're talking about the train song, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I imagine there's several songs called "Hey Soul Sister."
There's a few. I don't remember
it's "Here Comes the Hot Stepper" that song? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, it's like Dr. Dog's version of "Here Comes the Hot Stepper." But it follows the same formula where it's like a 3-5-6-5 or something.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Or maybe he just did it because he's like, listen, my buddies want to do "Here Comes the Hot Stepper." Let me write an episode about it. But it is such a good cover.
That is cool. I'm not hearing the connection to "Hey Soul Sister" off the top of my head when I listen to it, but
I promise that it's in there, and just watch his videos. They're fantastic. Okay. I want to get him on the show at some point, but I don't know how to reach out to this person.
Yeah,
they're based in Philly, And he's if you go on his YouTube page, he did something fairly recently. It kind of broke his made his break. Was he would go on live all the time, Instagram Live, and try to get to talk to people from every U.S. state. And then in between these things, he would just go, "All right, you want to see how long it takes for us to get like a famous person in the chat?" And he would just go live and have a target essentially. And so he was live for 9 hours trying to get Dave Grohl to show up on his Instagram Live, and he got him. And they like talked for like 20 minutes about nothing. And then just he was like, "All right, enjoy your day, man. I just wanted to see if we could get you."
It's amazing.
It's just like brilliant irreverence. And I love that. I love brilliant irreverence. And this song is also a testament to that. Like, why is Dr. Dog, if like a sort of folky indie rock band from Philadelphia, going to cover "Here Comes the Hot Stepper"?
So I
do it well.
I do just want to clarify the connection. The connection was Smoking Pokes is local to John. Dr. Dog is local to you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is the connection. Actually, they're more local to you because I don't live
in Well, that's true. Yeah.
If I could, I would do the Misfits cover of like Magic Moment or Monster Mash because they're local to me.
Oh, they're this Magic Moment is pretty great.
It's great. Anyway, that's my choice. Dan, what do you got?
Well, we're on to John.
Oh, that's right.
And it is John's last choice. So
it's my last choice. I wanted to pick American Woman by Lenny Kravitz just to put in this guy's face. But I don't know if I can do that and put my name on it. I gotta think. So Smoke, I do love the local connection though. I keep seeing cool Philadelphia bands pop up, and there seems to be like a lot of new cool stuff in Philadelphia. Yeah. And I keep wanting to send it to you're the only person you're the only person I know in Philadelphia. Now I know. I guess I know George now. Oh no, are you in New Jersey?
I cohabit.
He's a Philadelphian.
Those two. Yeah, thank you.
Got it.
I live in North Jersey, so I'm more closer to the city, like New York. But I miss Philadelphia every day. I moved for love, and it was not a mistake.
You get bagels now.
It was not a mistake. I love my fiance. Casey, my fiance.
Man, this is tough. I kind of have nothing to go with this.
I mean, there's doctors,
I don't know Dr. Dog dogs. That well.
I won.
There's comes.
What you're saying is I won.
Let's there's, see. Doctors
there's
and
for
dogs.
Sure other songs that start with "Here Comes the..."
Okay, this is a... Okay, I got one for you.
All right, what do we got?
And I can stand by this. Okay.
It's Lenny Kravitz.
This is a little bit of a stretch. But, so Dr. Dog version of making fun of Lenny Kravitz makes me think of other bands I liked at the same time when I liked Lenny Kravitz in 1997, which included Third Eye Blind, cool. Who did a really cool cover a couple years ago of the Joy Division song Disorder.
They did a really good job with that song.
They did a version of Disorder. I'm so upset.
And it's awesome. Yeah. It's probably
really
my favorite. I did a little bit of a deep dive on someday I want to do a Joy Division episode.
I would like to come on that show.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah. And it is a really cool version of Disorder.
Wow, this is like blowing my mind. You know what it is that I have an uncle who's really into Third Eye Blind, and therefore I resent Third Eye Blind.
I kind of love them. Yeah.
So I can never get into them because, like, an uncle of mine. So it's just like uncle music.
But it is kind of uncle music.
No, I'm an like uncle. Obsessed with them. It's yeah. It's a weird thing. I don't know. It's like since they came out, he's been obsessed with them, and like goes to see like acoustic gigs, and he's just this old 50-year-old man in the back, be like, yeah. He's the old guy at the show.
Yeah, well, so like I am becoming more and more comfortable with being the old guy in the show because they have gotten younger as I've gotten older, and or maybe they're just staying the same age. And I also have like I never grew out of the emo phase, but I just love like teenagers being emo. So like any like teenager kind of angsty teenage music, I'm like, oh, nice. Totally. Yeah, I'm there. And I'll go see
I'm
it.
I'm on board.
but they're always, I mean, I'm becoming less and less of a, like, it looks like I should be there. So I'm trying to become comfortable with Uncle Music. Maybe that's what it is.
Uncle Music.
I didn't follow Third Eye Blind past their first album. That was a transformative album for me at the time, but I didn't really follow what they did after that.
Yeah, I know that one, and then Never Let You Go, and then that's basically it. But that first album, I love that first album.
Oh yeah, okay. Definitely. This Disorder has the way he does the little I forget what the Joy Division singer Ian Curtis the way he does his like little yelps, I think, is really cool.
Oh, fun. There's a great, you know, I it was on a Tony Hawk soundtrack and it made me like Joy Division, and then I didn't realize that they were the same band of like Unknown Pleasures in this, but they do what is the name of the song, but it's like a straight up punk song. It just sounds like a British punk song. Warsaw.
Warsaw's a great song.
It's a great fucking song. But then you listen to like Unknown Pleasures or Closer and you're like, oh, this is very different. This is, you know what? I just had this talk with someone last night before we were watching Matrix, the newest Matrix movie. A bunch of my friends didn't know that the Goo Goo Dolls were in like a hardcore punk band before they wrote Iris. And I played them a little bit of like the first Goo Goo Dolls record. And they're like, I would listen to this.
It rules. I'm still a fan of Goo Goo Dolls because every now and then they drop in and kind of early sounding rock song and they still kick ass at it.
It's my mother-in-law's favorite band. She only listens to the Johnny Resnick songs, though. She goes to the bathroom for the bass player songs.
Not the weird long hair looking guy.
Nah. I once sent her a picture, like a very gross, distorted picture of the bass player from Third Eye Blind. And underneath it, written in like a drippy blood font, wrote, "I just want you to know who I am." She did not appreciate that. All right. So we got Disorder. Joy Division cover. Dan, this is your last one.
Oh, man. I'm going to do something, and it is a song I really like, but I don't feel proud of myself for doing it because there are better songs to choose from. And I'll say the one that I really want to play, but I don't know who does it. There's an 8-bit cover version of Bizarre Love Triangle that somehow stands out more to me than the original. But I'm going to go from Joy Division to New Order, as one naturally does.
Of course.
And I'm going to do the Orgy cover of Blue Monday.
Orgy cover of Blue Monday. All right.
That's got to be like the first thing you think of, right?
Yeah, like New Order has so many good songs.
This Orgy version is like half the time of the original Blue Monday. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, I want the radio edit.
Yeah,
it's only 4.5 minutes. I think the original Blue Monday is like 9.
Oh, yeah, it goes.
It just keep going.
Yeah, like I had a hard time getting into Joy Division and New Order and actually New Wave in general.
Sure.
And then I've been telling Dan to listen to it, but there's a podcast called No Dogs in Space.
I love that.
George has also been telling me to listen to that.
Okay. I wasn't really into any of these older punk bands. And then I kind of was. Like I knew the Ramones and I liked the Ramones, but I didn't know anything about them really.
Look out for the Ramones episode. Week 3.
Well, I know. Well, this is a lot of the reason why I started looking into this stuff. You know, like Ramones and Joy Division and that band Suicide. Mm-hmm. And there's just like, I'd never heard of any, I never really paid attention to a lot of these. There's something about listening to six to 10 hours of history about a band thing. That you're just like, wow, I think I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, New Order.
Research for it, you know?
Yeah. New Order is basically just pop Joy Division, which is great. That's maybe my favorite genre is Joy Division, but pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joy Division is a little tough to listen to and enjoy. And New Order like it does feel like it like kind of smooths out the edges.
Yeah, like they knew what they were doing. They finally got to do what they wanted, tragically, which has to be a weird life thing of like, this is finally the music I wanted to make, but the reason I get to make it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. So it was me. This is my last
yeah,
buzz.
Close us out. This is it. Yeah.
This how we end. All right. I'm going to end with something that, so I always confused Orgy and this band, and they do a couple really good covers, but this one is my favorite. It is used in a ton of TV and movies. They I feel like originated the recent trend of putting all the, thank you very much, coffee delivery and bagel. So happy. I think they originated the recent trend of taking an old song and then putting like these big ethereal soundscapes behind it for movie trailers, where it's like the trailer for San Andreas and it's just California Dreaming being sung by Rihanna while things are exploding around it, like that big sweeping soundscape of a cover. I'm gonna do the band Placebo's version of Running Up the Hill by Kate Bush.
All right.
Have you guys ever heard this song? I've heard about this song because they used it in the History Channel documentary series about Gettysburg. Because I don't know if you guys have ever been to Gettysburg, but the whole place is just built up on a hill. So the whole running up that hill gives us this whole new meaning of like, oh, these are soldiers going to their death. And then it's a Kate Bush tune, but done in a creepy new industrial style version.
Yeah, it's got some grime to it.
Yeah, it's dirty and glitchy and gross, and it's so good. And it's like puts you in a time and place of like, this is a Halloween song now. Yeah. Like Running Up the Hill was already kind of a creepy song. The Placebo version is creepy.
You know, it's funny. I've never said that band's name, Placebo, even though I know that's what the word is.
Yeah, it's Placebo.
Placebo.
Yeah.
Placebo.
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 When I was a kid, there was a guy, like, you know, like you work at like a retail, you know, or something as a kid, and there's always like an older guy there. It's like trying to give you advice.
Yeah, the that uncle guy in the back of the room. He's the guy in the back of the room at the Third Eye Blind concert.
There you go. Yeah, perfect. I mean, in hindsight, he was probably only 19, but as a 13-year-old, he seemed like an old guy.
Recently, looking back at all the Spider-Man movies, because I was gearing up to go watch it, and I watched the old Tobey Maguire movies, and I thought Tobey Maguire was so old, and I think he was older to play a high schooler, but like seeing him now, I was like, oh no, he hasn't aged. He's still 40 years old. Like that man has always been 40 years old in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's main advice was you got to listen to Placebo.
I don't think you do.
It'll change your life, man.
Yeah, now that I never found it in, I didn't think it was worth spending $20 on and at the record at the CD store, you know? Now that I can just listen to anything on Spotify.
I'm pretty sure they've come up on our show once or twice.
Do we have any honorable mentions before we get out of here? Because I think our playlist is pretty good. I would listen to this. For sure. I mean, we don't have to add them. I like always talking about some favorite covers. I'm a big covers fan.
The only one that I think would have launched us in a different direction was when you did Country Road. I for sure would have followed it with a Me First song because they have a great Country Road cover, and then just opens the whole world of Me
that
First.
That would have been such a different playlist if we did that.
That would have changed the direction completely.
Yeah.
But that is like a standout version for me, the Me First one. Like among all their like great covers, like that one actually stands out in their catalog to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There, I have two covers I found. No, three covers. I found this. Oh gosh, there's so many. There's so many cool
nine
ones.
Nine covers.
Can I talk about several things right now?
So
Viagra Boys put out an amazing album this year. Mm-hmm. I'd never gotten into them. And then even the first time I heard it, it was like a little too, I don't know, something about it didn't hit me right. And my friend told me to listen to it again and think about it as like a post-punk band that likes country music. And that like totally changed it for me. And they do the only cover of In Spite of Ourselves I've ever heard with the woman from Amel and the Sniffers. Okay. And it's like a John Prine duet song. that is weird and awesome and kind of funny.
That's great.
Nice. And it's so good. And the other one that this didn't come out this year, but the other one that I love, and I weirdly got like a little bit emotional too, is Orville Peck, the country singer, does a cover of Born This Way.
You know, I have
that like hit me so hard.
Yeah, I've been a big Orville Peck fan, and Casey just didn't want to be into it. Like she thought, like she bought a mask with the fringe on it, and then I was like, oh, it's like an Orville Peck mask, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I played her, she's like, I'm not really into this. And then she went to a festival over the summer, and he was playing, and he played that and went, oh, I'm a big Orville Peck fan now. Like that was the song that turned her around on it. It's so good.
It's so good.
Any more that you had, both of you guys?
So many more, but I mean, so many.
You can hear more about it on Blanket and Covers.
Yeah. I'm trying to like push the thing where I'm like, hey, like look how passionate this man is about covers. You should listen to his podcast.
Yeah, John brought this idea to me a couple months ago, and we've been working on our first 8-episode season. And it's mostly all recorded, mostly all edited. So I can say confidently that it's really good. It's insane. It's insanely fun.
I'm excited to hear my episode because you can hear the disdain in my voice after listening to 40 different versions of Angel of the Morning.
Yeah, we should have him on when I'm trying to convince Dan to do Summer Breeze, the Seals and Crofts song. Because I keep finding cool covers of it. So that would be a good like secondary endurance test for you after Angel of the Morning.
Please, I don't want endurance. I just want to have fun.
We'll give you a band next time. Seals and Crofts.
I can't do stand up anymore. So this is how I'm funny and entertaining, and this is awful. And I'm the worst part about this show. And you're gonna put me through more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Check out Blanket and Covers. It comes out tomorrow. Yes. If you're listening to this today, it comes out. If you're not, it's already out there. January 4th is the debut with the Tommy James episode, the king of having his songs covered.
Yeah, he's probably making a good amount of money on that. All right, I got my bagel delivery. Let's get out of here. John, thank you so much. Spotify game. John Chenner, covers. Yes.
We did it. Bagel.
Thank you for having me. I was specifically excited to be on here for a playlist episode.
It's going to be good. All right, bagel time. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Feel Feelings Pod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/feelfeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
We're such a professional show.